Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses.
Cherry on top of this comment is the very last word that he uses. Classy. Let's talk about classy.
So the rest of the comment up until this point was certainly positioning himself higher than me, certainly attempting to belittle me, but classy is really where he drives this home. Classy is a trash term. It's a trash fucking term. Literally created in classism and racism. Classy is a term used to put down women specifically who don't fit into a thin, petite, agreeable, soft, feminine, white nature of what white men want a woman to be. In addition, being of high class, of socioeconomic status. So fuck the term, it's a trash term. And when it's used in ways like this, it is specifically used to put you down and put you in place. I don't fall in place. I don't fall in line to this. I will not be small because of this.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and the clip you just heard was an excerpt from a video posted by Taylor Nolan this week that was a response to an attack she received from Ari Leyendyke Jr. on Instagram, and we are going to be getting to that later. But you know today is Friday, so you know what you're going to get.
Twibbin!
You're about to get some Bachelor Nation news. You're about to get a parasocial play of the week. You are about to get some Screams from the Pit. Of course, all during this season of The Bachelorette, Screams from the Pit is sponsored by Relationship Hero. This is a site you can go to get help with any relationship that you might find yourself in. If you just started dating someone and you want to know how to navigate that relationship so they don't run away screaming from you. If you've been in a relationship for many years and you want to know how to spice it up, put the spark back in it, they can help you with that. If you're not even in a relationship, but you want to be in one, they can give you the tools to make yourself a viable candidate for a relationship.
Maybe you're dating someone and they play a PTC in 5 acts and you don't really know how to respond besides saying that's cool. Relationship Hero can guide you through that.
And right now, if you go to relationshiphero.com/GOR, you're going to get $50 off your first session with one of their certified relationship coaches. Again, that is relationshiphero.com/GOR. But before we get to any of that, of course, we are starting out this Friday's episode as we start every Friday episode with
Game of Roses. State of the world.
We're no longer grateful. We took a little brief break from State of the World for gratitude. No more. Give us the dark shit.
Now we are back into the hell on earth that we all find ourselves living through in the year 2020. As you know, State of the World is a segment in which Pacecase and I describe some events that are happening in the world around us, and then we tell you how they are linked to Bachelor Nation, because as we now know, all things are. Today, we are going to be focusing on something that just happened last night in our beloved City of Angels. That's right, Los Angeles is on the strictest COVID lockdown it has ever seen in the entire history of the COVID pandemic. We are the largest county in the country, and we continue to repeatedly shatter single-day COVID records, and now we are in this hyper-aggressive lockdown put in place by Mayor Eric Garcetti. The strict guidelines require all Los Angelinos to remain inside and not leave their homes for any reason at all, or be subject to, in quotes, fine, or, let me put this one in double in quotes, imprisonment.
Well, we do have the largest jail system in the world, so there's plenty of space for us.
Gotta fill them up if they want that government subsidy.
There are, of course, a few exemptions. And so what we're going to do for you is read a little bit from this order. Subject only to the exceptions outlined in this order, all persons living within the City of Los Angeles are hereby ordered to remain in their homes. Residents of the City of Los Angeles who are experiencing homelessness are exempt from this requirement. Benevolent.
Your first exemption is, if you don't have a house, you don't have to be in a house. That is just so kind of the mayor. Then paragraph 2 says, subject only to the exemptions outlined in this paragraph and paragraph 5 below, which we're about to get to, all businesses within the City of Los Angeles are ordered to cease operations that require in-person attendance by workers at a workplace. Okay, so that's basically all businesses should shut down, right? Yep. All public and private gatherings of any number of people for more than one household are prohibited, except outdoor faith-based services described in paragraph 5, which we'll get to, and participating in an in-person outdoor protest. So any kind of religious thing or protest, those are exempt.
The protests, you have to maintain social distance and observe the LA County Protocol for Public Demonstrations.
And then we get to the exceptions. This is paragraph 5, subparagraph A. These are all the people who don't have to adhere to this lockdown order by threat of fine or imprisonment. All healthcare operations, including hospitals, clinics, dentists, pharmacies, pharmaceutical, biotechnology companies, grocery stores, water retailers, farm and produce stands, agricultural and horticultural cultivation, organizations and businesses that provide food, shelter, social services, newspapers, television news, radio, magazine, podcast, and journalism, so you and I, Pacecase, can be out in the world.
Essential.
And this is where we get to how it relates to our beloved game. Music, film, and television production. It goes on to talk about gas stations, car repair places, banks, credit unions, hardware and building supply stores, plumbers, electricians, businesses providing mailing and shipping services, educational institutions, laundromats, restaurants, businesses that support or provide storage for retail goods, businesses that supply other essential businesses with support, individuals and businesses that ship, truck, transport, airlines, taxis, home-based care for disabled persons, residential facilities, office-based businesses, childcare facilities, and just pages of exemptions. So this giant order is essentially saying, we know how to beat COVID. Everybody stay the fuck home. And then most of the order is exemptions for literally everyone, including, once again, film and television production. That is an essential service. And this directly affects the fucking Bachelor. This version of the stay-at-home order that was issued in the early part of the summer is what the Bachelor had to work around to be able to shoot at La Quinta. And we are in this weird era of society where we all know what we should be doing. And then we all rationalize a reason that we don't have to do it. Whether the reason is religion, personal freedom, in this case, simply greed. All of these things are about
golf
money.
Golf courses.
So Pee-Pee gets to go play his golf game.
But yeah, it's definitely a bizarre order. I hope that it helps. We have spiking COVID cases in LA County. I think we have the highest amount of people who are in the hospital that we have had through the whole pandemic. But yeah, is television production an essential service that must go on during a pandemic?
I also don't get like protests and religious services. Okay, can I go jogging at night and say it's in protest of the stay-at-home order? Does that count? Can I say that exercise is my religion? There is such a strange blanket, vague exemption for basically anything that you can make a reason for. Why did they even issue the stay-at-home order? I sit here in Gore HQ and I look out my window daily. It's where I do my work at this table. And so I'm very familiar with the people that pass each day. The lady who walks two little pugs. The guy who jogs around with no shirt on and has a big tribal tattoo across the back of his shoulders.
Is he wearing a mask?
He is wearing a mask. But I see these people daily, and I know their patterns and their routines. They're out today. Not one of them has missed their little routine. So I don't think the stay-at-home order is doing anything.
Did you get this on a text on your phone?
I did.
I didn't. So maybe Pug Lady didn't get texted.
Maybe. Maybe she doesn't know. I can't imagine that being the case.
Maybe it's a pug protest. A cute little protest.
I'm just waiting to see the first person get arrested for this. Is that going to happen?
They arrested a couple who got on a flight who knowingly had COVID. I saw that.
But as you know, plenty Bachelor Nation players now reside in our beautiful City of Angels. And they are all obligated to adhere to this. Will they? Will we be seeing Sleucian posts of her gallivanting about town?
No, she will be inside cooking. What was the the thing about her having the incorrect title?
I don't want to tip my hat, but I've been digging around in the pit and I'm about to find something. I can tell it's right there. And it has to do with Hannah Solis's new videos that she's been making about a show that is titled Baking and Bubbly. It's what I believe is going to be her attempt to start a YouTube channel. And there's something in the pit. I know it's here. I just have to find it. At any rate, that's our state of the world. Los Angeles on lockdown. COVID numbers through the roof everywhere, specifically in Los Angeles. It's terrible. But these exemptions for TV and film are once again indicative of the society that cares more about money and commerce than it does about the safety of its inhabitants. And Bachelor Nation is right at the forefront of it.
I mean, they're like, oh, we must keep businesses open, but you could just pay all of these people to stay home. That's what we should be doing. What we are doing is not working. I know my friend is working on a show that has had 4 people test positive for COVID on the production. They haven't shut down.
But if you pay people to stay home, how does the city make tax money? It's all about profit. That's all this is ever about. Money over lives.
Won't argue with you there.
Well, thank you for indulging us with the state of the world. Things are appearing to be grim, but I have been reading. It seems like a vaccine is on the near horizon. I'm looking very forward to that. And something else I'm looking very forward to is getting into the Bachelor Nation news with you. Are you ready, Pace Case?
Oh, I'm ready.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
Welcome to
This Week in Gains.
As you know, all this season we are starting Bachelor Nation News with a segment we are calling
This Week in Gains. I am.
Whoa. Holy shit. What is that?
It's my Fair Lady accent. I've done it before.
Yeah, I know. I do recognize it. I didn't know that it was going to be applicable to This Week in Gains. I mean,
This Week in Gains.
This Week in Gains.
This Week in Gains is a sub-segment of our larger segment, Bachelor Nation News, in which we highlight all the big Instagram moves of the players on this season of Bachelorette. And we are also going to talk about the ratings of the show.
What were the ratings?
Well, this past Tuesday, The Bachelorette led the night.
Ooh. Wowie.
It delivered a 1.2 in adults 18 to 49 with a 4.14 million viewer cumulative total. Again, these are numbers that are holding pretty steady for the entirety of the season. Still a hit show, at least by modern measures. Those numbers 10 years ago would have gotten this show canceled before it even finished airing the first episode, but now a big hit. So we're happy to see that continue. We're happy to see it roll into whatever Matt James's season is going to do. I really think the first episode of Matt James's season is going to see 8 million or so. I think we're going to double the audience.
And now, let's take a look at which of this season's players are able to translate those viewers into Instagram followers. Claire Crawley, no longer in the document, but she gained 10,000 followers, bringing her to 1 million. Welcome to the club.
This is an astounding feat. We are going to get to it a little bit later in Bachelor Nation News, the significance of this, but it is incredibly significant.
Tayshia Adams, current Bachelorette, remains steady at 1.2 million.
Again, incredibly significant. She only hit a million about a week ago, and now we've got two Bachelorettes for the first time in history from the same season, both in the Million Club. Is the crown a guaranteed million? Seems like it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we're having a Bachelorette who had a partial season is still in it. So I would say it's a guaranteed cool mill. And now, the top five follower gains from the last recording, 11/26, to today, December 3rd. Number one, we had a gain this week that was so unbelievable, I rechecked my work.
I mean, normally you just roll through.
I am an accurate gainsman, but my work, my beautiful work, it held true and it confirmed my MVP / play of the game recipient, Ben Smith. He gained 40.3K this week, bringing him into the 100,000 club to a healthy total of 122,000. These are Dale Moss numbers for a non-Dale Moss player. Bachelor Nation is responding positively to his double play of the game this week, his voluntary nudity play on portion one of the group date, and his disordered eating PTC on the second portion of the group date. Incredible gains! He joins Dale Moss, Brendan Marias, and Bennett Andrew Jordan from this season in the 100K Club. Congratulations, Ben.
Truly an impressive feat, and we still have a few weeks to go. Where he's going to wind up, we can only guess, but that play, that PTC, the voluntary nudity, he's giving us something to look at. He's giving us something to think about. Fantastic work. Second place this week in
gains.
Easy Nwachukwu gained 26K for his error of the game, a failed love level 3 raise that resulted in his immediate benevolent execution. This brings him to 94.9K. He is knocking at the door of the 100K club, but still the allegations of sexual misconduct against him are out there. And we're going to be getting to that a little bit later in Bachelor Nation news as well. But for now, an impressive gain on his final episode.
Third place went to Brendan Marias. He is always up there in the gains charts. He's continuing to make huge gains every week for his solid 4TRR play. This week, he gained 19K, bringing him to 125,000 total.
This is especially impressive because he had very little screen time.
Yes, very little. He's doing some interesting parasocial play, though. Maybe that's contributing. There was a video of him twisting his beard.
And it may have something to do with the official Bachelor Instagram account mistakenly posting a photo of Tayshia with what we perceive to be the final 7 guys, and then immediately taking it down when people saw that it was a spoiler.
What?
Oh, yes. I won't tell you who those 7 guys were. You know, Brendan was among them. I don't think that's surprising.
Someone sent me a message and they were like, look at this Bachelor spoiler. They took it down and I was like, is this a spoiler? And they were like, yes. I was like, please don't send this to us.
It's not that much of a spoiler. It's the final 7.
He's in the top 7.
Yeah, it's not a huge surprise. Yeah. Any of the people who are in the top 7.
We knew he would be like, top 7.
That makes perfect sense.
I think he's top 3.
If anything, it at least was the parasocial error of the week by the show itself. They posted a fucking spoiler of their own show. That's hilarious. God. They need somebody working that account who's a little more savvy. And fourth place in gains this week goes to our beloved Ivan Hall. He was barely in the document this week after getting a massive amount of screen time last week for his historical Black Lives Matter racial discussion with Tayshia play. And other than his father's medical problems, PTC on the group date, he didn't get much screen time. So his gains are most likely explained by the residual effect of last week. He gained 13,200. Bringing him to a total of 56.5K. Sky's the limit. I think we're going to be seeing more from him, and I think these gains are going to continue, and I think they're going to get
bigger. I agree. I think he will be joining the 100K club. He's only halfway there, but I feel it for him. Fifth place in gains goes to Bachelor Clues' MVP, Zach Clark, for his PTC Festival extravaganza in 5X. He gained 11.9K, bringing him to 34K total. I think he'll go higher.
Oh, he's definitely going to go higher. I'm going to make this prediction on Zach Clark.
Mm-hmm.
500K club by the end of this season.
What?
Yeah. There's something about him. I was looking at his Instagram the other day. There's something about him that is just under the surface. It's waiting to be unlocked. And I think the longer he makes it in this,
mm-hmm.
the more likely it is that this parasocial butterfly is going to bloom and he is going to dominate.
Wait, what is he doing on Instagram?
He has this kind of, I don't want to say a wall, but he's playing almost a parasocial wall. He's still reserved because he's trying to stave off whatever's going to happen in the season. He obviously doesn't want to spoil it. All of his posts mm-hmm. are very generic, like, hi, here I am. Look at what I'm doing. I think that's about to break. We're going to start to see some real shit coming from him that I think is going to catapult him. This is just a weird feeling that I have. I think we're on the verge of seeing him explode.
Well, I do believe that he will be in the top 4. So I do believe he will be in the top four, so I do think we will see some major gains for him. I think his story is so strong, and it's going to resonate with a lot of people who have addiction or are close to people with addiction. I'm interested to see how that will play out. He'll get even more screen time as he gets up there. I don't know if he was in the spoiler 7, but
I don't even remember who was in it.
That's good.
I know Brendan was in it. He's the only face in my mind that I can see in the picture. I see the other guys, I see the poses, and I don't know who they were. That's how I fucking just erased it. As soon as I saw it, I was like, erase!
Well, I wish I had that power. A little preview of my scream this week.
Speaking of having that power, again, missing from the document this week was Dale Moss, but he continued his gains. 11,000. Now at 739K total, this parasocial juggernaut will not be stopped. I'm telling you, his gains may be slowing down, but he's gonna hit a million. That's going to happen in our lifetime.
I mean, are you saying within the course of this season, or you believe he's gonna have a hosting gig?
Could be a hosting gig. I think he is bound for greatness on television, on another reality show. I'm not exactly sure, but Dale Moss has it, and he's going to have a million by the time I'm dead.
A player who was heavily in the document, Bennett Andrew Jordan, also gained 11K this week for his aggressive condescension kringle of young Noah Erb on their two-on-one in a hard rivalry. His forced desk partners with Tayshia this week, his strong fourth audience game, slash his potential villain turn with his non-consensual masked kissing, bringing him to 130,000 Instagram followers total.
Bennett and Noah, whatever's about to happen with them in next week's episode, they haven't seen the last of each other. Both of them are going to be on Paradise. Both of them are going to continue to gain from it. I think Bennett might hit a million after his run on Paradise. We'll see.
Wow.
Joe Park this week gained another 9.5K, a swan song bump for his elimination from last week's game. And of course, barefaced young Noah also gained 5.7K for his role in the rivalry.
The smallest gain crown this week goes to Tyler C. He lost 1,600 followers this week, bringing him to 22.5K total. Many other eliminated players also reported Instagram losses. You gotta keep working out to maintain your gains in the gym, and you gotta keep working out your parasocial engagement if you want to retain your gains on Instagram.
Well, that concludes This Week in Gains. And now it's time to move on to the regular Bachelor Nation news.
Speaking of kings of parasocial engagement, Ari Leyendijk Jr., COVID positive. He revealed it in his Instagram stories this past week. He does not know where he got it, maintains he did everything correctly, followed all the protocols. This from the same man who hosted a full fashion show for Lauren's Shades of Rose apparel company earlier in the pandemic. He described how he had been staying in a separate wing of their house to not give it to Lauren and little Alessi.
We obviously wish him a full and healthy recovery and hope that the rest of the family doesn't contract the deadly global pandemic. Not to be outdone, stars of season 13 of our beloved game, Jason and Molly Mesnick, also had COVID this week. As Molly revealed in her Instagram main grid, they are both recovering from having all the standard symptoms. We wish you a quick recovery as well, Mesnicks.
Speaking of recoveries, Easy Nwachukwu. We have been watching his strong face play over the course of this season. A wonderful, colorful narrator. And now that he has been dismissed in a one-on-one execution last week, news is finally emerging about the sexual assault allegations that have been completely ignored by the show and ABC. In October, as a result of seeing Easy on the 16th season of The Bachelorette, a woman released a series of tweets explaining that she had a non-consensual sexual encounter with Nwachukwu. A statement she made in those tweets read, "I will not stand by quietly anymore while this aggressor is paraded around on this show as a stand-up guy, on as the comic." She later deleted the thread on the recommendation of legal counsel. Not only did she take action to get lawyers on her case, but she spoke to Reality Steve about the allegations and also to NZK Productions, the company that makes The Bachelor and Bachelorette. So the show was very aware of the situation, even as they continued to air Easy in every episode this season. It's now being reported that ABC did launch an investigation into the allegations, which they maintain was inconclusive. Easy maintains it was a consensual interaction, so a final verdict of he said, she said seems to be where this ends, and I tend to believe she said's.
Of course. ABC had to find this inconclusive. Otherwise, why would they have aired all that footage of him? It's their only way out, is to say, look, we looked into it. He said nothing bad happened, so that's going to be the end of it. I don't know if there's going to be an independent investigation into this from her lawyers or whoever she has on her side, but it does seem like ABC, NZK are sweeping this under the rug. That's what it seems like to me. And again, Easy continues to get these Instagram gains. So it even seems like the whole of Bachelor Nation is either not aware of this or does not give a shit. But one thing that Bachelor Nation certainly is very aware of is that the first Bachelor out of season 16, Claire Crawley, has recently joined a very elite club. It's known as the 1 Million Club. Yes, this club is getting bigger to be sure, but it's still an extremely exclusive group of the highest level players of our beloved game, and this is a huge milestone for any player who is granted admittance. So far, the players that Crawley joins in this incredible endeavor are Hannah Brown,
Tyler Cameron,
Joe Fletcher,
Peter, a.k.a. P.P. Weber,
the postless Marvel, Colton Underwood,
Madison Pruitt of the Prue Crew,
Pace Case's choice for GOAT, Miss Caitlin Mirrorball Bristow,
Cassie Randolph, Dylan's keeper, Hannah Godwin,
Miss North Carolina herself, Caitlin Miller-Keys,
Catherine, the only final rose pick to get married to The Bachelor, Giudice Lowe.
Of course, Hannah for Cookies Sluice, Demigod Burnett,
Deanie Babies Unglert,
Lauren, I Married a Country Music Star Bushnell,
the unlovable Ben Higgins,
Becca, recently untethered from Mag Garrett Kufrin,
Million Dollar Baby Jade Roper,
Sean, the Master Bachelor Lowe,
Wells, I Landed Sarah Hyland Adams,
the saddest bachelor of all time and the greatest bachelor of all time, Nicholas Vial,
I Have Two Kids Amanda Stanton,
Ashley, the destroyer of friend zones, Aya Canetti.
Jillian, what's your favorite hot dog topping? Harris.
Becca PVC Tilly.
Andy, I lock up gang members, Dorfman.
And most recently, of course, Tayshia, the replacement bachelorette, Adams. So congrats to Claire Crawley on her hard work this season. She will be remembered, I think, as one of the most iconic bachelorettes in history for blowing up the game. And who knows? Maybe she and Dale will actually last, and she will ultimately be held in high regard by the game itself as a success story. Time will tell, but again, congrats to Claire Crawley for joining the 1 Million Club. Out of all the players, there aren't that many who are doing it, and all the ones that we just mentioned, as you can hear, are high-level players. These are the superstars of the game. She is now one of them.
Congratulations, Claire Crawley, a true icon of the game. Speaking of icons, our next piece of Bachelor Nation news involves Tayshia's ring. A few pictures have surfaced of Bachelorette Tayshia Adams wearing what might be passable as an engagement ring, and the rumors are swirling. Let's put them to rest. She might be engaged, but this is not an engagement ring. The show goes to great lengths to hide the outcome of each season, except for the Instagram this week. But this includes confiscating the engagement ring until the players show up for the After the Final Rose episode. Katie Morton appeared on Olivia Caridi's Mouthing Off podcast back in September to explain how the producers refused her request to let her wear the engagement ring given to her by Chris Bukowski on the BIP reunion show. These pictures are meant to fuel the rumor mill. Why does this trick work on Bachelor Nation every time?
It's a question I cannot answer. It even worked on me. I saw it and I'm like, wait, is that a fucking engagement ring? For a split second, the question was asked in my mind. And then I had to remind myself, like, of course not. They're doing it on purpose so that it becomes a fucking Us Weekly article and a Cosmo article. Oh my God, is she engaged? Is this a bachelor engagement ring?
I had so many people send me this story and I was like, these rings mean nothing to me. They did the same thing with Claire Crawley. I'm like, this is nothing. She's literally recording the podcast in the ring. You think that's a mistake? Come on.
Speaking of rings, just a side note here. This week, Becca Kufrin went on Caitlin Bristow's Off the Vine podcast, and they both divulged that each of them still has their broken engagement ring. These are the highest value items in the archaeology of our beloved game. They are Super Bowl rings, essentially, and they both still have theirs, and they don't know what to do with them, but they don't want to get
rid
of them.
Sell them to
Clues. I'd be happy to do that. Ultimately, I'm going to open this fucking museum. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm going to get a space out here in LA. It's going to be a physical location people will be able to go to after the fucking pandemic, and I'm going to get these goddamn rings in it. And I may even do something like this. Charge a fucking admittance and put it all to charity. That way, I can get these items. I feel like if it's done for a good charity, all the players would be able to pitch in and put some stuff in there. I really think we should have this museum. I think it should exist.
I hope it's as creepy as we were watching probably one of the dark seasons. There's a hometown date where there were two different rooms. One was like the dad's like sports room, which just had sports memorabilia covering the walls everywhere you looked, and one was a pageant room that was a similar thing. It was creepy as fuck.
This would not be anything like that. This would be somewhere between a sports hall of fame and an art gallery. Very tasteful, nice lighting. I want video screens playing of the object when it was in the game above the object. I need placards saying what the object is, what year it came from, who touched it, who wore it, blah, blah, blah. This will be a high-level endeavor.
Will there be performance art like at the Museum of Broken Relationships from Nick Viall's season?
I would love to have guest lecturers come by, and those would be players, obviously, talking about the items that are there and what their season was like. Little live events, curated things from time to time. Look, it's going to happen. It's going to fucking happen at some point. It's just a matter of when. That's all. Obviously, COVID has to be over. But there's going to be a Bachelor Museum very soon. Not very soon. It's like 20 years away. And rounding out our Bachelor Nation news this week, it is a happy birthday wish going out to the Dark Lord's concubine herself. Lauren Zima turned 33 on November 30th. Happy birthday, Miss Zima. We cannot wait to be guests on your new podcast relating. And now we come to that time of this show when we discuss all of the best moves that have been made by players of our beloved game outside of the game in the parasocial arena. This is
the Parasocial Play of the Week.
We had a lot of very strong parasocial plays this week. It was difficult to choose a winner in the running. we had number one. Maddie Pruitt posted some pictures on Instagram this week chronicling a trip she took with her sister to the most magical place on earth, Disney World. The two-slide post to her main grid features a fun and frolicky image of Madison giving her sister a piggyback ride in front of the Disney castle, and a solo shot of Pruitt in Mickey Mouse ears striking a foot-forward style modeling pose. The Pruitt sisters are wearing masks in both images because, as we all know, there is a global pandemic killing people every day. But they're not going to let that kill their will to have fun.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues, have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered
Hell yes.
why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised?
Hell yes. Well, unfiltered mineral water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And about 75% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine.
I thought it was 85%. And that's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin.
Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation's a breeze, and it's unique. Quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market.
Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription.
Even better, anybody listening to Gore right now can use code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
The post has 234,000 likes, 531 comments, including one from Hannah Sluice that simply says, Disney loves you, a heart emoji, and one from her dad, Chad Pruitt, that reads, The Prue Crew, triple heart eyes emoji.
And on the opposite end of the spectrum, we had Taylor Nolan releasing a 12-minute, 7-second video this week entitled I Had Time Today that is actually incredibly important and thoughtful.
I loved it.
It's a video on her Instagram TV feed calling out Ari Leyendyke. The video has 77,000 views and 841 comments. It is a pure parasocial gaze directly into the lens as she discusses what's on her mind. It starts with an old video she made that was a general admonishment of the, in quotes, good people on both sides argument sparked by the election night polls posted by all of what she calls the white dudes in Bachelor Nation. And specifically, it calls out a post made by Ari Leyendyke to this end and then moves through issues of accountability and privilege. She then transitions to a comment left by Leyendyke on a post she made about a sex toy that reads, "Love how you came after me for posting an election poll, but you're advertising masturbation pads or whatever the hell this is? Classy." She definitely defends her choice to be a sex therapist and counterattacks Leyendyke for shaming her choice for work, which is, she reminds us, very similar to his own. They're both essentially Instagram influencers. She specifically addresses his use of the word classy as an insult, calling it a trash term created in classism and racism used to shame women who don't fit into the feminine white nature of what white men want a woman to be. She makes it clear she will not allow herself to be put in this box, especially not when it comes from a white privileged man who does not acknowledge racism or sexism at all. And finally, she lets everyone know that she will invest no more emotional energy to oppressors and abusers of any kind. A masterful video that is mandatory viewing for all of us in Bachelor Nation for many reasons.
This is also combined with a parasocial error of the week. Ari Leyendyke making that comment on Taylor's post. What was he thinking? And he was clearly stewing in it because he posted it a week later after her calling him out for that election poll. I hated those election polls as well. And I looked at all the results because I was like, this is interesting to see who their followers are. And they were mostly posted by these white dudes who have not been clear about what side of the political spectrum they are on. And they're just like, oh, this is going to get engagement. Such an amazing video by Taylor Nolan. I loved it.
As though there is any kind of an equivalency about who you're voting for. That is just, it's either this team or that team. It's like, yeah. No.
Red or blue.
Both teams are bad, obviously. But Trump is not even a team. Trump is a chaotic whirlwind that threatens the fabric of freedom in this fucking country and therefore globally. It's a whole different fucking thing. But the news covered it that way too.
Well, Trump's up in this state. Joe Biden's up in this state. Here's how many votes are in.
That's how all news covered it as well. No one really covered the gravity of what this fucking was in the way that it should have been covered.
Too political. Calm down.
Okay. My apologies. Moving on. You might enjoy hearing that Noah Erb threw his hat into the parasocial arena this week with a noteworthy post of himself wearing the mustache socks he was condescendingly given by Bennett on this week's episode of Bachelorette. Posts germane to the events that unfold in the show are always recommended, and Noah pulls it off here with humor and grace in a simple image posted to his main grid that features himself sitting cross-legged on a stool with a guitar against a wall in the background and a glass of wine in one hand. He smiles with his mustache print socks on full display with a caption that reads, "These socks are brought to you by Harvard." The image has so far received 15,000 likes and 750 comments. Fantastic engagement for the young Noah.
Number four, Becca Tilly released a comedic video this week parodying a dream sequence from the upcoming episode of Grey's Anatomy, in which she inserts herself on the beach with Patrick Dempsey and she gets sand thrown in her face. Tilly exhibits a surprising level of comedic talent in the short video that has racked up 208,000 views and 1,120 comments. I thought this video by Becca was so funny. I really enjoyed it. Put it up in the Instagram polls. It did not do so well, but bravo, Becca.
One video that did do very well came from Jason Tartick, the support crew for, of course, Caitlin Bristow. Last week, our parasocial play of the week was the long, expansive parasocial work that both Tartick and Bristow did in service of her run on Dancing with the Stars all the way to the Mirror Ball. This week, Tartick essentially posted a video version of everything we described last week. It's every one of the posts that were made in service of this, all the videos that they made. There's music set to it. There are clips from her on Dancing with the Stars. It was an extravaganza.
It is honestly so all over the place. It's very funny. I highly recommend checking it out. Jason is doing this sort of Leave It to Beaver narration throughout the whole thing. It goes, there's a bit about loving his dogs. There's a bit about how he has this bromance with this one man. It goes into a lot of different things. It's sort of a smorgasbord of their parasocial plays.
It truly reminded me of like the week after the Super Bowl. The game's over. The commentary's been done, but then you just keep seeing clip packages of highlights from the game for that next week. We're basking in the glow of the event still, and here, Tardik is very smart to understand that there's still social media gains here. There's still parasocial engagement to be had. Even though the event is over, I'm going to put out the recap of it, basically. Genius move. It really shows a high level of parasocial understanding, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was Caitlin Bristow's idea.
They definitely have a team working on these. There's a very high production value. I'm also curious, I guess we discussed this on the live, but Jason Tardik not proposing right after the mirror ball. I believe this is because he is spacing it out. He's like letting this glow last maybe 6 months, and then I think that we'll see him do it. What do you think?
Totally agree. And he's smart to do it that way, because that's another huge event. In and of itself, we're going to get a whole other parasocial media cycle of the days leading up to it, the proposal video, the wedding video, the post-wedding video, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Dogs wearing little suits, I bet. Little bow ties.
Absolutely. That mirror ball is probably going to be sitting right next to the fucking wedding cake. Their parasocial supremacy is going to last as long as they want it to last. They're going to have kids. Those kids are going to grow up. They're going to be grandparents doing shit with the fucking grandkids. I mean, they're going to be in our lives forever.
And I believe that proposal will push Caitlin Bristow. She's hovering below the 2 million mark. She's at 1.9. I think that'll do it.
I agree with you 100%.
But so this video was strong. It was my parasocial play of the week all week. Until I saw something on the Bachelor subreddit and found our winner for Parasocial Play of the Week, Joe Park. He did something in the parasocial realm that I don't know if any other player has done before. He sent a DM to the Bachelor subreddit to thank them for being supportive of his play in-game from the very beginning. The Bachelor subreddit is a strange and dark place. It is equal parts beauty and horror. It is a rich resource, but many players have felt bullied by them as well. To open a channel of communication with them takes a lot of courage, and to our knowledge, Joe Park is the first to do so in this way. He sent this DM, quote, "Hey r/TheBachelor, just wanted to say thank you again for being so supportive of me from the very beginning. Somehow, this community really got me after the 12 seconds I was on air the first few episodes. I obviously wasn't the most dramatic person or camera-hungry person this season, so being recognized for just trying to be normal really gave me the warm and fuzzies, squinting smiley face emoji. We'll be following along. Please let me know if there's anything you'd like me to do or participate in. Stay safe and thanks again." This is such a strong play for a number of reasons. It creates the idea that he's always lurking in the subreddit, a hidden parasocial relationship, and might read a member of Bachelor Nation's positive comments about him, encouraging that behavior. It rewards the community that has been making a strong Bachelor push for him. We're not sure how many of his 9.5K posthumous Instagram gains this week can be credited to this move, but it's definitely a creative postseason play that we greatly appreciated.
It's tapping into one of the most rabid Bachelor Nation fan bases that exists. Bachelor subreddit is not for casual viewers. It is for people who live and breathe this shit. It's for people like us, honestly. And for Joe Park to recognize that and to go in and say, thank you to them. He is aligning with the hardcore fans. He's aligning with the students of the game, the people who are doing deep dives into all kinds of social media shit, the history of the game, et cetera, et cetera. It was a brilliant move and a little risky because, like you're saying, yeah, Bachelor subreddit has some incredible shit in it. There are incredible people doing incredible work there. There's also a lot of darkness there. There's a lot that happens there that is frightening in some ways. And when you reach into that darkness, you have to be prepared to maybe get your fucking hand bitten off. And he did it. He reached into the darkness.
For contrast, Baylock Eye made his own type of engagement with the subreddit this week. His Instagram story, he answered the question, "What do you think of Bachelor Reddit?" And he responded, "Flawed humans judging and making fun of other humans for being flawed, in parens, most of the time, in parens, some good ones." Many of the players of Bachelor Nation feel like the subreddit has damaged them in some ways.
In the immortal words of Hannah Sluice, "We knew what we signed up for, and part of that is being exposed to the Bachelor subreddit." So, Joe Park, you get our Parasocial Play of the Week for embracing that and engaging with it. A rare move, a strong move, and we hope we get to see much more of your parasocial work in the future. Well, that does it for our Parasocial Play of the Week. We hope you enjoyed it. And now, of course, it has come to be that time when Pace Case and I allow ourselves to delve deep into the darkness of the bottom of the pit.
Screams from the pit!
Screams from the pit. All this season of Bachelorette is, of course, sponsored by Relationship Hero. Relationship Hero is the most popular relationship coaching service with an average of 4.9 stars on Trustpilot. Each of their relationship coaches is certified and backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So whether you're casually dating or looking for your soulmate, newly engaged, maybe you've been married for decades, Relationship Hero is here to support you in whatever kind of relationship you might find yourself. You can get advice on anxiety, tough breakups, building better boundaries, even how to navigate dating in the pandemic. So if you go to relationshiphero.com/GOR right now, you're going to get $50 off your first session with one of their certified relationship coaches. That's relationshiphero.com/GOR. And with us, as always, during this Bachelorette season, descending into the deepest depths of the pit with us to hear us scream, Shoya has returned. Thank you, Shoya, and welcome.
I have returned.
Welcome, Shoya.
What's new with you guys?
Sheltering in place, you know, screaming.
So nothing new. Got it. Noted.
Pretty much.
It's already been a tough week. I moved this week, which was a lot. You know, there's the pandemic, etc. But I was on our Bachelor Instagram account, and I'm scrolling. I'm looking for some strong parasocial plays, seeing who's got the best ones this week. And I came upon something. As many of you know, I follow Patty James, the next Bachelor, Matt James's mother, on Instagram. I was interested that she was following Trump and Melania, giving an interesting perspective on who Matt James might be as a player. You know, is he a Trumper, perhaps? And when you follow someone on Instagram, you can see if they have liked a post. It'll say, this person and this many number others like a post. And I saw that she liked one post. And it was a post of a player from Matt James's season. I might have spoiled myself for Matt James's season this week. I will not reveal what that post was here, but I cannot stop thinking about it. I hate spoilers so much. Tayshia's season has been so much better for me because I wasn't spoiled as I was for Claire's season. I love to watch the game play out and make predictions based on play for who will do well. I hope it's not true, but I fear it is. Like when Sweet Nums, a mother of The Bachelor last season, liked a player named Hannah Ann Sluice's posts, and that revealed something to the rest of us. And I cannot stop thinking about this. It has been all-consuming. I suppose it comes with the territory of my whole feed being Bachelor at this point, but I am not happy. Also, anyone listening, please do not confirm. If you do know spoilers, I want to remain clean. This is my scream.
So... I'm gonna repeat what I understood, like the English that I understood from that, back to you just to make sure.
What? Oh my god! I was like, I'm trying to make sure I explain.
Well, maybe I got it. So I want, because I don't know what the scream is. So next season's Bachelor, I don't know, is the problem that next season's Bachelor's mother may be a Trump supporter? Is that the scream or?
No.
Okay, so the scream is...
That happened a while ago.
Okay, so spoilers, basically.
My scream is that she might have spoiled her son's season for me. And I am depressed.
Oh, I mean, that's a very strong word, depressed.
Wait, I thought the scream was not that she spoiled the season, but that your level of investigation into the Bachelor Instagram world has now got you looking at the likes of a player's mother, and that spoiled it.
There's a lot of potential screens here. I mean,
it's a combo, you know, that's involved right. here.
If she wouldn't have liked it.
Yes, she has less than 2,000 followers. Yes, I am one of them. And I'm seeing what she's doing on Instagram. I guess I the fact that I didn't even think of that as the scream is telling, but... No, the scream is the spoiling.
Gotcha.
The scream is I am unclean, perhaps.
So, but you don't know. You don't know if this has been spoiled or not. Maybe this is what they want you to believe, right? You know, because I mean, you know, depending on the production teams, I know some production teams have like sniper shooters out against their team, you know, to make sure that things don't get spoiled. Yeah. And I'm sometimes curious when spoilers are, you know, let out there's kind of like, are you trying to send me on a wild goose chase? Do you want me to believe this? So that way, when this happened,
will this change your mind? She has unliked the post,
but maybe that was intentional too. Maybe she's trying to get into it.
Joy, you're really sounding like you're in the pit now. You're really getting into it.
Conspiracy theory.
I'm just trying to help you get out of your depression. Your depression is linked to the fact that you believe that you are somehow unclean. So I'm like, here are a whole bunch of different options of why that may not be the case. And you have like a whole rest of this season to convince yourself that that may not be the case before that season even goes live.
I'm going to try, but I think she is a loose Instagrammer, thus why she was following Trump and Melania. I don't think she thinks about these things. And I don't know. The unliking, it's not a good indicator.
No, it's not. Well, I mean, is this information that you have been spoiled, does it just lead to like 80 more questions, perhaps? Because, you know, like answers just lead to more questions. So maybe this hasn't been spoiled to the degree that you want it to be spoiled to. I mean, look on the bright. I'm looking for a silver lining here. Look on the bright side.
There's a chance, but I think, you know, it would probably be healthy for me if I was able to figure out a way to, like, the spoiler has happened and I'm just going to, like, come to terms with it and it's okay.
I also suggest that. I am actually kind of, maybe this is what you need, because your whole screams have had a theme of, I don't like the fact that I'm this committed. So maybe this is a wake up call that if this is what threw you into depression, that maybe you ought to have that whole season spoiled for you so you can look into, you know, healthier alternatives, you know, kind of just hit rock bottom. Just go ahead and get it all over with.
It is. Spoiling is a way of distancing myself from the season.
Yeah, like it's
being less engaged
right,
with it.
Slow detachment, right? Kind of like admitting is the first step in the 12-step program. So maybe this was your, you know, introduction to step one. We've only got 11 other steps to go. Admitting that there's a So maybe this could be a good
thing. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of admitting.
My scream this week has nothing to do with attempting to distance myself from our beloved game. I would even describe this scream as a power scream. And I don't mean that to sound like the scream itself will be powerful, but I mean that it's a scream about power. We have recently learned that there are 5 episodes of this season left that will be airing over the next 3 weeks. Next week is a single episode. Mm-hmm. The following week, there is an episode on Monday and Tuesday. The following week, there is another episode on Monday and Tuesday. We do recaps on our podcast every episode. So generally speaking, the schedule has been the episode airs Tuesday night. We have an episode out Wednesday that discusses that episode. The amount of work that goes into these episodes is extensive. It takes me many hours to edit them. It takes many hours for Pacecase to post them and do all the social media about it, et cetera, et cetera. And then we also do an episode on Friday, the one you're on now, where we talk about the general happenings within Bachelor Nation, the news, what people are doing on Instagram, etc. Again, that episode takes work also, similar amount. And we also do an extra episode every other week for our Patreon, which takes a similar amount of work. So now we are faced in the next 3 weeks with having 1 week where not only would we have to do an extra recap episode, but one of those weeks we would have to do that in addition to our Patreon episode, meaning we would have to put out 4 episodes that week. And when
a 3-episode week and a 4-episode week
back to back, it would be more work than we've ever done
while we're working on another project that takes a lot of our time as well.
And when I learned of this, my first reaction, what I first felt and what I still feel, was not any kind of threat, was not any kind of anxiety, but only a raw, unbridled fucking power that this is a challenge put before me that I will fucking demolish. It was as though the game had given me an opportunity to descend even further in the pit, to tap into some fucking thing that I know is in me that I just haven't fucking used yet. And then I started to think, well, wait a minute, though. Is that true? Maybe this will destroy you. Maybe the...
I had the opposite reaction. I was almost moved to tears. And I said, let's do a week without Twibbon. A rational response.
I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, we have to find whatever level we are comfortable at working without going insane and all that, or more insane than we have gone. But I am interested in the challenge of it, and I also know that the amount of work could destroy me. There is this both sides of the coin thing going on in my head, and I don't know what the final decision is on it, what we'll wind up doing, but it feels a little bit like it's a moth attracted to the flame, not understanding that it's going to fucking die in a fiery death.
Icarus.
You want to be destroyed.
I don't. I want to go into the fire and come out stronger.
That was not the story of Icarus.
It was not. Icarus was weak. He fell to the ground. No, God. That is obviously the story of Icarus.
I have a new scream, and it's this conversation.
Oh, wow.
We did something like this in the past. There was one season where there were 2 episodes on back-to-back nights. And we did 2 episodes. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but we were only doing 1 episode a week at that point. Now we're doing 2 and a Patreon, 2.5.
No, I know. We're at capacity and all that. I'm simply screaming what my initial reaction was and saying that I am now on this like seesaw of I want the challenge. It may destroy me. I want the challenge. It may destroy me. And I know that that's potentially a bad place to be because you can push yourself through a limit that is detrimental in ways you don't even understand, expect, and potentially in ways that I can't deal with. And yet here I am.
I don't think it's a bad place to be on that. Ironically, like real talk, I think everybody at some point, if they are not avoiding their lives, is going to end up in a similar space. If they are chasing the, you know, their passions and you know, their purpose and yada, 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 that they're going to end up in a similar space. Mm-hmm. Charles Bukowski, you know, spoke of this. He has a poem slash or quote in a line of his poem that says that you should find what you love and let it destroy you. Or not like you should literally be reduced to ash by the thing that you love and whatnot. So that was his work. I think there has been perceptions of Icarus. Like a lot of people tell the Icarus story as if he got too high on the horse or he got too ambitious and that's what happened. But there's a rendition of the perception of the story when it's kind of very similar to Bukowski's thinking that, but that was the whole point, right? It wasn't like he went there and thought that he could make it. It was this whole idea of being reduced to ash, right? He wanted to fly close to the sun. And it was kind of like the fall down was kind of like, I accomplished my goal. So
he did die, but he also got closer to the sun than anyone else.
Right. And if that was his goal or whatnot, then it's kind of like, I think their whole part of that theme is kind of understanding that death is inevitable. Like the end is coming for all of us, regardless if we want it or not. You can either, you know, go peacefully into that sweet night or whatnot. Like you can live your life to the fullest, doing the things that you want to do. And if that's the cause, hey, whatever. So I feel like you're on the seesaw or whatnot. And you are obvious. You have this theme of being full force, passionate about your pit whatnot, and the depth whatnot of which you've fallen into your pit. Yeah. And maybe this is the universe responding to last week's scream of, you know, I am coming to the end of this and I don't know what I'm doing. So maybe the universe is like, you know what? We are about to challenge you. Like, how committed are you? How committed to this are you? And then at the same time, I encourage everybody to know their limits whatnot. And it's, you know, to please know your limits or whatnot, and work smarter, not harder or whatnot. So it's kind of like, what exactly is your end goal? Because I do truly believe that if you know the why to your what, then you open up like multiple paths to accomplish that goal. But if you don't know the why to your what, then you can only see it binary, right? It's this or that or whatnot. So it's kind of like, I don't think this has to be a bad thing. I'm curious to see how either you're going to survive this challenge, you know, and live to tell about it, because living for something is a lot harder than dying for something. Or if you're going to let it destroy you, then I'm curious to see how you're going to go out with a bang.
All right.
I'm very curious as to how you're going to do the episode by yourself.
I mean, that's Pace the other half of this is like, if Pace Case knows her limits and if she values her limits in a way that I guess can't understand myself. Yeah, I don't know how I would do it without Pace Case, nor do I want to do it without her.
Well, option C, whatever that is.
It turns out I do a podcast by myself. It's like a 17-hour long podcast, just a fucking lunatic rambling into the night about nothing.
The pit, just title that one, the full pit, the depths of despair. Just, this isn't a breakdown. This is the whole episode is the pit.
Well, we'll see what happens. We got a couple of weeks. I don't know what's going to happen, but that was my initial feeling, was an overwhelming sense of power, of immortality, invulnerability at the thought of taking on this challenge and overcoming it.
I think this is a lesson to anybody's listening that because Pace Case, like you look, your limits and like you have,
like, I mean,
You're like me.
I suggested this as a possible scream because I was just like, this is a wild reaction that you've had.
Clues, you're looking for like full on match, drop, burn, like holds, you know, very show business and whatnot, like very spontaneous. You, Pace Case, are looking for longevity. Like you're like almost CIA, KGB, I'm gonna be here till the end, outlive, you know, that degree of, which is frightening within itself. It's a whole
I'm like the Americans. I'm like, this is my life.
Which is concerning within itself.
I think if we're keeping with the pit metaphor, for me, not only am I no longer aware that there is an opening of the pit above us, I don't even look back at it. All I'm focused on is the ground in front of me and getting a bigger shovel to keep digging.
That's evident. That's clear.
That's coming through in the Zoom.
I used to look back frequently at the sky. I used to just dip a toe into the pit. And then we were kind of down in it for a while. And now I just feel like, I don't even know. I have to get to the core of the earth at this point.
You're a whole different version of yourself. Have you taken time to get to know this new version of yourself? Have you mourned past versions of yourself? That's something that we should all do often. Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is a new version of myself. I think it's just a new, to use a video game term, it's a new skin applied to the old me. This is how I approach all art. Just a compulsive obsession. Whenever I key in on some subject, I fucking do it until I've learned everything there is to learn about it, until I've made every piece of art that I can make about it. And The Bachelor is simply that thing right now.
Gotcha.
And because it is such a rich muse, the amount of things that can be generated from it are almost infinite.
I can see that. Yep. I can see that. I mean, it's interesting. I don't think there's any quote unquote bad news here. I just think this is a sign that you two have different bandwidths and whatnot, which isn't a bad thing, right? Like, yeah, you just have different bandwidths.
How do you navigate different bandwidths?
I mean, relationship speaking, this would be where you would have that conversation with your partner and understand, like, where is your bandwidth? Where is their bandwidth? Like, as far as what they can take on. And then instead of trying to clash at one another, like, force each other to meet them where they are, it's kind of like, why don't you just play off of each other's strengths? Like, literally, like, that's what makes a healthy relationship. You don't have to be the same. You just have to be like, you know, this might be one of those things where you're like, you know what, Clues, you have the tenacity. I'm going to actually encourage you to go full force, and I will shift into support mode because I don't have the bandwidth to do a million episodes in 1 week or whatnot, but I will definitely support or whatnot. And then when you start burning out, I mean, Pace Case then built up all this energy or whatnot. So she's like, she's in it for the long haul. So she's going to still have that, you know, sustainability once that 5-hour energy, you know, has dissipated. Cause she's just been, you know, she's been taking the green tea method, right? Sustainable energy method while you've been doing the espresso shots method or whatnot. Mm. Both sustain energy just in different ways. It's all good.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Thank you very much. This is profound advice coming from Shoya, a relationship hero coach. We thank you, as always, for descending into the pit with us and listening to us scream at the top of our lungs about how our beloved game is affecting us. And again, we hope to see you next week. And again, next week is just another single episode. It's the week after that, where we'll see what happens.
We will see. Yeah.
Your grin right now is haunting.
he's...
You suddenly have like more teeth.
He's flying to the sun.
Green tea. I am green tea.
You are green tea. That's your mantra, this hashtag, I am green tea.
Oh my God.
Well, thank you again, Shoya, and we will see you next week.
Peace out.
Thank you, Shoya, for joining us. I also want to give a blanket thank you to everybody who posted and tagged us in your Spotify Wrapped stories this week, saying that you binged Game of Roses this year. I saw one person listen to 17 Gore episodes in one day. I don't know how this is possible. Maybe 2x speed.
Yeah.
But we were blown away by all this support and appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for coming with us on this crazy journey.
I was just astounded that people were watching so many episodes in a day. It's mind-blowing to me. I can't imagine it, but yes, thank you. It is very humbling, and it makes us want to keep doing this, you know? that we know what we're saying is resonating with people out there and that we're not the only ones in the pit. We are not the only people obsessed with this show. And
it's a crowded pit.
And it's just, it's great to see. So thank you guys so, so much for posting that stuff. And thank you, obviously, for listening to it. It means the world to us.
And we're going to put out even more amazing content in 2021. I think those numbers are only going to get crazier. The only way out is through.
And thank you, as always, for sending us the tids. The tids are an important part of us even being able to do this podcast, because it lets us know what is important in the nation. And so every tid that gets sent to us, we are reading those tids. We are putting them into the podcast. We are doing our research on the tids. Thank you for sending them. They keep us fed and happy down at the bottom of the pit.
Our next episode will be Wednesday. Another game breakdown in Tayshia's season. And we will see who wins. Bennett or young Noah?
I thought it was going to be Bennett, but now I'm thinking it may be a little flipping of the script.
You mentioned it. You think it might be a twofer, and I could see that happening.
Yeah, might be a double execution. I could see that happening as well, because they're both bickering
when
she came in.
Getting down to seven.
But hopefully you'll join us next Wednesday for our recap. Until then, what is that dwab at?
It has been 6,828 days without Black Bachelor, I am.
Okay.
Should I redo that?
Not at all.
Praise be Lord Harrison.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then.
We're almost through the second month of this year, but that doesn't mean that you should forget about those New Year's resolutions, your new goals, especially your skincare goals. Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results. And your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty. I've been using this stuff. Look at me. Look at my face, Pace Case.
You're glowing.
How young do I look? Tell me. Tell me the number.
That's a Pace Case glow. You look like a little baby.
Thank you. That's the look I'm going for. And I put the stuff on at night. Dime's eye cream. And then they have a dewy day cream that I also use. And this is the result.
I've literally never used a moisturizer before. Mm-hmm. I've always had oily skin, but now it's getting to that time. And I made one of my New Year's resolutions to be to do my skincare routine. And I'm using the dewy day cream in the morning. I keep it on the left. Using the restorative night cream, I keep it on the right. It's bim, bam, boom. I know which one to use. And now my face is moisturized all the time. And it's so nice.
You look like a baby as well.
Thank you. I was waiting for it. A little slow. But this takes the guesswork out of the routine. So this is part of the work system, the two moisturizers. There's also a sold out retinol alternative, the TBT cream. I can't wait to try that one as well. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars.
This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in three body problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.